Hello and welcome to Required Reading, the podcast that revisits the most impactful books from our childhood. I'm your host, Erin Bowles. I am a writer, actor, and comedian. And our guest today is Dylan Adler. Hello.
Hi, Erin. Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
You have seen Dylan on The Late Late Show and Comedy Central, and he is performing in New York at Joe's Pub on January 31st. So our book today is Into the Wild by Jon Krakauer from 1996. How would you describe this book to someone who is unfamiliar with it?
This book is, I would describe it as it's like a deep dive into the story of someone, of someone's journey into the wild, into their like personal journey that they took, like getting rid of all of their possessions and going into the wild. But it also is a little bit of an insight into the author's life. It's not necessarily a full autobiography, but just he kind of, I think, beautifully connects stories about his life to key moments of the main character's story.
It's such an interesting like format that I was really surprised by. It
Yeah,
follows
it's not typical.
Yeah. Not at all. It's the story of Chris McCandless, who is this early 20s guy in the 90s who is actually from, he's from Annandale, Virginia, which is like half an hour from where I'm from, which is really cool.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow.
Yeah. And McCandless finishes college and decides to live off the land. He goes to Alaska and tragically dies after spending a couple months living in the wild. And Jon Krakauer is this journalist and writer who writes a piece in Outside Magazine that really raises attention to it. And this is fleshed out into a full book. He talks about sort of various other young men in American history who have sort of followed the similar journey of going out into the wilderness. And I had never read this book before, and I was so excited when you picked it because I had heard about it. I did accidentally, at the very beginning, think that we were reading Jack London's Call of the Wild. That was fully my fault. Apparently, my reading comprehension skills are not great, but Chris McCandless was a huge fan of that book, so it was helpful.
Yes,
there's all
yes,
connected.
Yes, yes. It's kind of connected for sure.
Yeah. There's also Into the Wild by Aaron Hunter, which is the first Warrior Cats book, which I do hope we'll cover one day on this podcast.
Oh, okay. Yes.
So what is your story with this book? How did it come into your life?
My story with this book is it was required reading junior year of high school. And so basically in English class, we were discussing like existentialism and, relationship to nature. And we were kind of reading texts that covered that. And this was kind of a longer text that covered human beings' relationship to the wild and nature. And most, required reading, I was not super, struck by like any of it. But this one in particular, I think really kind of, hit me and made me feel things I was grappling with too, because I thought, I don't know, my teenage self is like, I'm gonna just drop it all and live in the fucking camp in the woods and just fuck everything. And, so I thought it just kind of hit a specific nerve for me. And in rereading it and also watching the movie, it was just kind of like, oh yes, I this is a very seeing the way it was crafted. And also I like thought more about the author's relationship to the story too, and why he in particular felt very drawn to it.
Yeah, the events of the book take place in 1992. The book is released in January of 96. And actually, in 1996, in May of the year, Jon Krakauer goes on this expedition to climb Mount Everest. And it's one of, like, the deadliest disasters in the history of climbing Everest.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Like, four of his teammates die in the same, like,
no.
4 months after this book is published.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Yeah. And he writes a book about that called Into Thin Air. He also ties in this book is so much about family and adolescence. And so something really interesting was Krakauer sort of combines those stories about Krakauer says his father was relentlessly competitive and ambitious in the extreme, and that his father said there was one sure path to meaningful success and lasting happiness. And so Krakauer is talking, they're so similar, which is so beautiful.
No, I think they really do have very similar stories and, you know, the very similar parts of them that were drawn to the wild, drawn to the wilderness, drawn to the other from connection that they felt they couldn't find in their relationships, maybe in their immediate family.
Yeah. I first wanted to ask just sort of what was your relationship like with nature when you were young?
Yeah, I feel like I always appreciated it. I always enjoyed it. But it actually wasn't until I maybe became a teenager and got older, and I really started to really appreciate the calming and relaxing effects of it. And I grew up in California in the Bay Area, like a 5-minute walk away from a state park.
Wow.
So I feel like I like really took it for granted when I went to New York for school. And I was like, wow, oh my God, I can't believe that I was so close to such a beautiful state park and the bay, and that I kind of took it for granted. And it really did. I think I grew to appreciate beauty of nature, I think, as an adult, I would say.
Yeah, I found myself a couple weeks ago just being like, I need to be in the woods. I need to be in a place where I look up and I can only see leaves and I can't see the sky.
100%. Yeah. I feel like as a kid, I was more like, I have to be at Disneyland. I have to be at Six Flags, right? That was more my inner monologue. Yeah,
definitely. Yeah. I was very like, put me inside. I don't want to be outside anymore. I've done it. We're good.
Oh, yeah.
I realized how much this book was going to be about nature, about finding yourself. I think something throughout this podcast that I've discovered is kind of every book ends up being about childhood and growing up. It's sort of it's in there always.
Oh,
and I
yeah,
think
yeah, yeah.
When I first heard about this story through the podcast You're Wrong About, are you familiar with them at all?
I've heard of it. I've heard of it. Yeah.
Yeah. They do a big episode talking about Chris McCandless and the book. They talk about his sister, Corrine, wrote a book in 2014 that's talking about sort of stuff that didn't make it into this book. Their childhood was, I think, even harder than is depicted in this book. There's, you know, it's definitely not a... There's definitely a need to escape. And I think when people look at this story, and Krakauer even talks about it in doing the research for it, people have very strong reactions to what this young man did. What was that reaction like the first time? Sort of how did you see yourself in him and the different parts of his journey?
You know, for me, you know, when I'm thinking about it, because when I was an angsty teen, I'm like, yeah, maybe I'll do that too. I'll just go out in the wild and maybe prepare a little better, but, you know, just maybe not as extreme, but, you know, I'll just try and do that and, you know, feel existential and feel, because, you know, I think, I guess compared to Chris's situation and family situation, I do feel fortunate, but there still is like a angsty, maybe, you know, not feeling seen part that just still wanted to, you know, be let out and, you know, feel that. And I'm not sure if this, I'm making a completely clear connection, but his desire to go out into the wilderness is not completely dissimilar as someone's desire to go out and pursue creativity and the arts and pursue something that they feel inside of them. And they're like, I want to go out there and feel that. I feel very drawn to this, you know, and I don't think it's completely dissimilar. And I felt drawn to that. But I honestly, like, I'm like getting emotional talking about it. Like, now when I read the story and reread the story, I just felt really like I just wanted to like hold Chris and like, you know, his desire to go out into the wilderness was drawn out of obviously the desire to like feel connected to nature, but also maybe out of pain and wanting to search for something else. And you know, how it ended up. And I just felt like so much empathy for this, like for this kid, for this young 20-year-old. I think that's kind of my difference when I was rereading, but I think that's kind of how I felt.
Yeah, I think I found myself often kind of frustrated with Chris and sort of like, why did you make this choice and that choice?
Yeah.
But I think ultimately throughout it, I was like, well, I am now past the age that he was when he did this.
Yes, that's exactly it.
Yeah.
That's exactly it.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, oh, I
Go
did
for
this
it.
Shit. I went through this journey. And like, no, Chris, oh, you poor boy.
Yeah, when I was reading it, I kept getting frustrated. And I loved what you said about how similar it is to pursuing that creativity. I think I didn't connect that until you said it, but it's absolutely true. Just the set dressing is different, but absolutely. I think there was a lot of like Chris got away with things that I know, like if I had done it, I probably would have been murdered a lot earlier. Or,
Yes, yes, yes.
like he does fully get arrested several, at least once, and spends a
Oh,
night in
yeah.
jail and
Oh,
All of those
100%.
things that I would get frustrated with when reading it. But then when I was going through my notes today, it's like I realized that growing up is a gift that not everyone gets to learn those things.
Yes, 100%. 100%. And I think that's why the author felt so compelled to do this story because he completely saw himself in this kid's journey and how it went, and the different elements with the family and his desire to go out into the wilderness and to like a very in a very extreme way.
That was a connection that Krakauer made both for himself and with other, like the people of Alaska and the sort of wilderness community definitely had a very strong reaction
Oh yeah, the
to.
Alaskans hated his ass. They were so angry. They were like, "Bitch." And I'm like, it's this kind of thing of like, ugh, yeah, I mean, like, I didn't grow up in Alaska or know how, but I'm sure like things that are obvious to Alaskans are not obvious to people that just want to have a journey. Or it's kind of like if someone is like just wanted to step in and do, something that we have been like doing for a long time, and they're like, "I guess we do it this way, right? Right?" And then we're like, "No, there are many steps that you have to take to do before you." I guess that's maybe where the Alaskans are coming from, but yeah.
But Krakauer points it out of like a lot of his frustration or a lot of people's frustration looking back is that they see themselves too much in Chris. They see those younger parts of themselves. I was even Wicked comes out in a couple days. I am a huge fan of everything related to Wizard of
Well,
Oz, and so
same, well, same.
I've been rereading Wicked, the Gregory Maguire book. And I've doing it all year is like a very sacred of like we're gonna read 2 pages of the Bible today and we're gonna just really fit with it. And there's a moment really near the end of that book where Dorothy comes to do the deed and Elphaba's like, I realize I hate her so much because she's like me, because she has, all of these things that haven't been taken away yet,
Oh man, that just gave me the goosies. It's true.
I know. Oh, I'm going on Thursday.
I'm going on Thursday as well at 2 p.m. at the AMC. Woo!
At the Grove?
I think so.
I'll see you there.
Well, I'll see you there, Aaron. I have to double check, but we'll see.
Oh my God,
Amazing.
that's so chills,
Yeah.
goosies. I wrote so many notes for this, which is so odd. Something that kept surprising me, and I think I was looking at discussion questions from this book because it is sometimes like well, actually, before we get to that, do you remember at all sort of how the book was received in your class and like what you talked about there? I assume it was like coming on the heels of Thoreau and
Yes,
transcendentalism, things like
exactly.
that.
Transcendentalism. I remember our class. I think it was one of the books that the class particularly related, just like we're, because I think we were coming off of, like older text, and I think we just finished, Hamlet and Romeo and Juliet, which is all, very great and important, but we're like, we want something that's relatable, or something that we could, that felt like, I don't know, that felt contextualized in the world we were living in. So I think that our class did, compared to other books, respond, feel more connected. And I certainly did.
I was looking at these discussion questions, and someone said, if Chris had lived, what would he have done, like coming out of that bus? What would have been his first day back in the world, sort of be like?
I
And
know,
that's
that makes me
really,
so emotional. It's so sad because what he wrote down, I might be butchering it, but it's like happiness is only real when shared. And
I had the exact same quote.
yeah, it's like I think that's like most important quote of the entire book, because he just went on this journey by himself and he was so, you know, adamant about, like, I'm gonna find myself in the wilderness. This is the one path where I'm gonna find it. And at the last moment, I feel like he came to a realization, but it was a little too late. And I think, you know, he would, that was him growing up. That was him making that realization. And I feel like if he survived, he would have incorporated that sentiment into his life and not been so completely extreme in his desire to abandon everything, burn, you know, burn all the money he had and, you know, burn his backpack and stuff. And, you know, he would have been able to incorporate that into his life. And I think that's what you said. It's growing up.
Yeah, that I think frustrated me so much, because when I think that phrase is repeated maybe a couple times of happiness is only real when it's shared. And I think that bothered me because I was like, then why are you alone? You know, why are you doing all to isolate yourself? You know, but I
For
think
sure.
also looking back on it, he makes all of these amazing connections along the way. He has this really
He
strong
does.
Connection with his sister. And yet I don't think, other than his sister, I don't think there are a lot of people his age, you know, that he bonds with. There's sort of a dearth of peers.
No, exactly, exactly. He had like a mentor, like before he went to Alaska, that he kind of bonded with, that was like older than him. But that's true. He didn't really, I think the book also like said, like, he didn't really have any peer group friends of his, which, you know, I think that definitely it's a human thing that we need. We need people going through the same things that we're going through the same struggles that, you know, we are going through, to, you know, help us get through the next chapter.
It's that extremity that, I think that's the hard thing. It's like I think people look at Chris and are frustrated because often he lives with, like, he, no matter what you think about this boy, because he is a boy, he absolutely 100% lives by his beliefs. He lives by his own convictions. And I think very few people are capable of doing that. I'm not. There's
me neither. Oh my God. No, I'm, and also, you know, exactly. And I feel like people are frustrated with Chris because there is a little piece of that that lives within a lot of different, within all of us, that, like, it's like, I'm going to throw it all away and live in the woods. And just because, you know, when things get too overwhelming, whatever it be, our relationships, when shit is falling, when everything is crumbling, you're like, well, fuck it. Should I just, like, do it? And, you know, just, and so, and he did it. Not everyone does that. We might have that thought to do it, but he did it. And that's, I think, why people have a visceral reaction to it, because he lived out that, what if I were to truly just go into the woods and feel connected to nature, just myself?
And I love that when Krakauer talks about his death, he says, like, he made mistakes, of course, obviously. He was not, you know, like, you can't have the amount of knowledge necessary at that age, like, even if
of
you've
course.
been there forever.
But he
lives a long time there. Like, he does make a lot of good choices. I think people argue, like, well, he had a death wish. He knew he was going to die. He was, like, giving all his things away. And, like, I don't think anything is that clear cut when you're 23, 24. I don't know. One of the visuals that struck me the most is he's there in this bus that he spends his final days in. And, like, he has these awful relationships with his parents. And yet, like, he still has the guitar that, like, his mother played to him when he was an infant. He, like, has the sleeping bag that she made for him.
No, it's really striking. It's really, really striking. And it's, No, it's him coming to that realization in the literal most extreme way. He is about to die. He's, like, on his deathbed, like, surrounded by, you know, things that his family made him, and in, like, coming to this realization when it's a little too late. Definitely really striking. And one of the things that, another passage that really struck me was from Krakauer, and how he, when he, like, I'm forgetting the name, but he climbed a peak that is very, like, very rarely climbed. And he was like, Oh my God, I did it. I did this thing. I accomplished it. And he went into the town and he was like, "Did I just climb that peak?" And then the guy was like, "Well, cool. Congrats. That's all, whatever." And it's like, "Oh, that's it." And it feels kind of like maybe that's a little what Chris was feeling when he was like trying to be like searching for something in the wilderness that he realized that it's like, no, maybe it's something that I had a semblance of that all along. And I think that's a thing of not to bring it back, but it's like the searching for like more creativity or just like going away from your family and what you know. You're like, I'm gonna, and when I find this, that was like on the second read, that was even more relatable to me because I'm like, when I go out and then I get this, everything I've won, this is, I'm never gonna ever want anything ever again. Woo! And then it's like you achieve it and you're like, oh, okay, what's next? Like it never is like kind of, yeah, it's like not exactly the same, but I think that that passage in particular struck me harder on the second round when I'm like, oh shit, yeah, that's a very relatable feeling.
I've had a few of those moments in my life where you like it's in like all the screenwriting classes, it's sort of like my favorite part of any dramatic narrative, although something I hate to experience myself is like the hero finally gets the big thing that they've been pursuing
Yeah.
time and it's not enough for whatever reason. There are
Exactly.
so many, like I remember there's this, I got like the biggest award in Girl Scouting and I made it such a huge thing and then
Yes.
nothing changed in my life. Like I got in my
Yes.
first relationship and I was like, but why do I still have depression? Like this shouldn't
Yes.
be here,
I mean,
again and again.
yes. Even being in like, in LA, moving to LA and stuff, and like doing things that I've always kind of something I've dreamed of and, performing in a way. And then it's like, it's a, oh my God, it's a high feeling. But then it's like, oh, it really is like a, it doesn't like take away all the things you think it's going to take away. And you still are the same person. And, it's kind of this. I think his metaphor of literally climbing the mountain, he's like, oh my God, it's like a beautiful metaphor for that exact phenomenon that everyone has experienced that, has a version of that.
It's so odd to be like, did Chris have that? And if he didn't, is that kind of good? Like, is that kind of a beautiful thing? There's I love so much how you said it's so similar to being a creative because I just hadn't thought of that, and it absolutely is.
Yeah, it's this thing of like, I'm gonna try to do something that's off the path. It's a little bit of a conviction of, I'm gonna go for this. I'm gonna try for this. There's no like clear path. No one has ever has a clear path in anything. But I think it's kind of similar in a way of like choosing something that is truly your own path. And Chris McCandless is definitely like the very extreme version of that.
There's a phrase that Krakauer, I think, uses once or twice about finding like an uncharted spot on a map that no one's ever touched. And I
Yeah.
think I saw that on like a surface level of like, that's done. Space is the final frontier. I just hit a lamp, but there is so much more to that, and it's the heart, and there's just, like you said, you just want to hold him.
I know, I just want to hold him because he thought that uncharted place on the map is what I'm looking for. That's where it is. And what he like in the very last moment found out, oh, it's not here. Yeah, what I was looking.
Krakauer describes him as an extremely intense young man with a streak of stubborn idealism that did not mesh readily with modern existence. There's this phrase that, I think people described him as like, oh, Chris is off in his own universe. But I think that he really was. Like, I think this is a person who maybe saw things in a little bit of a binary way, but he had such a clear sense of right and wrong, and then kept coming up against these things that didn't match with it. Like his father had this whole second family, and it's so, what am I supposed to believe?
Exactly, 100%. It's so true. You would like you we all kind of know those people in our life who are like, oh, they're in their own universe. They're doing their own thing. And I think definitely. Chris had that personality and he had that drive of I am gonna do it. I am gonna follow that path. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's such a classic and yet frustrating part of growing up. It is one, seeing your parents as real people, and that is so hard, no matter
Yeah.
what time of life it happens to you. But I
Yeah.
think also, like, when you were growing up, everything is about rules and expectations. And the older you get, the more you realize those rules don't matter or they aren't
Yes.
true.
Yes,
And I know that
100%.
frustrated me so often of like, but I
Yeah.
did it. I did X, Y, and Z. So why doesn't it connect so
Oh yeah,
often?
no,
Yeah.
same, exactly. It is growing up with those. These are the unquestionable things that you follow, and this is, we are the parental authority, and you follow. And it is like I think that's why this book could particularly hit, like with teenagers who are just coming to a realization that your parents are real people, because that's like kind of what, in the most, I keep saying, extreme way, that's what Chris did. That's what
But
he like.
yeah,
Yeah. Exactly.
absolutely. Here, it's sometimes he tried too hard to make sense of the world to figure out why people were bad to each other so often. He always had to know the absolute right answer before he could go on to the next thing. It's what a baby, you know?
I know. Yes. It's so like growing up to be like very strong in your convictions, but also not know. You don't know. You don't know the end of the journey, so you could be wrong, but you're also like, I feel this conviction so strongly. Yeah.
Yeah. Chris changes his name and goes by Alexander Supertramp on his journey. And
Yeah.
that's an interesting narrative of like when he uses his real name and when he doesn't. But he, Krakauer says, with this new name, he is the master of his own destiny. And I feel like that is the hardest, one of the biggest issues and problems in growing up is how little control you have. And so to
Yeah.
have control of absolutely everything down to like how many pounds of rice I have is such
Yeah.
an extreme way to force that onto the ungovernable. Yeah.
100%.
Yeah.
I know it makes me. I know it just like was so much. That's why it's like reading it as like someone in now late 20s. I'm like, oh my God, this kid, this fucking kid, you know? Yeah.
Yeah. There's how can we fix Chris? How can we save Chris? How can we go back to 1992 and find the one thing to make sure to give Chris a hug, you know? And
Yes,
it's just we just
exactly.
can't do that. But
And the unfortunate thing is like he seems like the person who is like, oh, you could tell me anything, but I'm gonna follow my path. I'm gonna do what I set out to do. So,
Yeah.
it's hard to think. It's like, how could we have prevented? It's like, this person seemed, he was so dead set
Yeah.
on.
It makes me remember. I love that Apple now has a journal app. It really stops me from going on Twitter, which is good. But I wrote down in it last night. I was like, you do you, but I'm gonna love out loud. And I feel like maybe that was Chris. Maybe he came in a little bit.
Yes. I love that. I love that. Good. Live out loud. Oxygen TV also. So love out
Also,
loud, live out loud.
I was looking up 1996, the year that this came out. What a year for media, like Discovery Channel, Animal Planet,
Oh
Blue's
my God.
Clues,
Yeah.
Fox
That was
News, all this
Fox News.
year.
There's so many things that had the Macarena was number one in the charts.
Oh,
I know.
Braveheart, Tupac dies, the Nintendo 64.
Okay, so this, okay, Tupac was shot the day I was born. I know.
That's kind of
So
special.
I'm like, so not to be dramatic, but I am the reincarnation. I'm just kidding.
I believe it.
No,
I
but
believe it.
no, a lot happened in 1996. There was a lot.
I think when people talk about Chris, they talk about the arrogance. And I think there's a lot of talking about young white men doing whatever they want to do, going wherever they want to go. And I understand that in some aspects. Like, I understand that when he is caught by immigration and spends a night in jail, and that certainly would have gone differently for
Yes,
different
no, there were
people.
certain things that he did have the privilege to do because of,
100%.
being a straight white guy. He could like forge on with his plan.
Yeah, I mean, even when he goes missing, when his parents don't know where they are, his dad works for NASA. His dad is like, I have a friend at the CIA. Give me a second and I'll go get my friend at the
A
CIA.
friend of the
But I think,
CIA.
exactly. But at the same time, I think like that arrogance is maybe unique to a demographic, certainly, but also unique to an age group, 100%.
Yes,
So
100%. To be young and to be so single, to be like so single-minded and so, it's like I am gonna use everything I have, every privilege or whatever, to go out and do this thing that, I set out to do. And so, yeah, and I can understand like the frustrations that people have with that.
Yeah, there's so much hitchhiking in this that I simply would not have survived.
Oh my God,
But
no, just
I love that at one point, Krakauer does talk about Jack London, who wrote Call of the Wild and writes all of these books that really set up McCandless's mentality and idea of Alaska. And Krakauer says, like, Jack London spent one winter in Alaska. He died at 40, drunk in a very comfortable mansion. And it just feels like we have to keep realizing these things that like Chris didn't get a chance to. And I feel like it just makes it so much harder
I
to.
know exactly. It is that thing of like realizing it at the very last moments.
One of the biggest things that this book told me is like it's two pronged of like you have to forgive who you were in the brashness of adolescence and the crazy, silly, stupid things you did, and to acknowledge that like my birthday is in a month, I'm about to turn 27, and it's like actually growing older is kind of a beautiful thing and like a really beautiful gift to learn these things. Not everyone does.
And it's something that I guess I sometimes take for granted about, like, because when I grow older, sometimes I'm like, oh no, I'm not a young spry chicken anymore. Oh no. But it is like it's a privilege to have more perspective and to transform and let myself kind of change and go back and realize, oh, I think I learned from that and I became a different person and now I'm gonna act differently.
It's Krakauer did such a good job with this book, pulling from so
I
many
think so.
places. There's
I agree.
Oh my God,
I agree.
every chapter starts with some really great quotes. And so there are two quotes. One is from Huckleberry Finn, which I just did on the podcast. It came out last week. And then he pairs that with this like extremely psychological evaluation of adolescence about avoidance behavior is a response designed to protect the infant from behavioral disorganization, and going all of that about avoidance and a need to find meaning in order in life that's not entirely or even chiefly dependent on interpersonal relationships, which is so. We can't survive alone, but it's so hard sometimes to survive with, you know?
Exactly. It is that push and pull that every human being feels because interpersonal relationships can be fickle. It can be hard. Like relationships with people is hard, and sometimes it causes unbelievable pain. It can cause heartbreak. It can cause trauma. It can cause whatever. And like, I can definitely see that part of Chris being like, I have to go and do this other thing and explore, my relationship with the wild, which is like, relationship with wilderness is a sacred, like your personal spiritual yourself being with nature is a very important thing. But I can see how, Chris maybe had that mentality.
And that when, yeah, when the, I think like I've been thinking a lot about the weight that we carry from our childhood. I just read this amazing Toni Morrison book called God Help the Child that is very short and very moving. And I had to like print out a passage and put it on my wall because it talks about like when you are young, those events, those childhood traumas are everything to you because that's the entire breadth of your experience. So, of course, all of those things for Chris were so much bigger. But part of growing up is that if you keep telling yourself this story again and again and again and again, you get older and older and older. And isn't that kind of a waste of those older years to spend so much time rehashing those younger things?
And even like it's growing older is also realizing that and being like, oh my God, I'm here in this moment right now. I'm okay. The sun is right there. The floor is right here. There's a lot of energy. That's a part of like perspective. That's a part of, growing up and working on things.
Yeah,
100%.
it's just so hard. Like I feel like growing up is hard to do. What a new idea. I feel like we can just be kinder, I think, a lot. Maybe that's the biggest part of growing up is finding more ways to be kind in an unkind world.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. There's a movie
I haven't seen it. Tell
Into
me
the
about it.
Wild. We also watched the movie as a class. I loved it. It was so well done. It was beautiful. And the soundtrack is like written by Eddie Vedder, Pearl Jam. And it just like was so beautifully done. There were certain elements of the book that were not discussed, like the hard relationship with the family was not really portrayed in the movie and stuff. And there were certain elements that were taken out, but like at the core of it, I think it really captured the book so beautifully. And my favorite part is the soundtrack because I think Eddie just ca captures that kind of like almost like teenage angst, wish to like, I want something else, I want something more. And if you want to watch the movie as well, I think it's wonderful.
I've heard only wonderful things about the movie, and I think something throughout all of these books is this teenage want and desire for something more. And yet I think it's normal to pigeonhole that as teens, and it's not. Like it's in the
No.
Dostoevsky quotes that he pulls out. It's in Yentl, one of my favorite movies. It's
Oh
everywhere,
yeah.
and like
It's a great, yeah.
we have to let ourselves
100%.
have that.
Exactly. Because, you don't stop growing up. It's very intense when you're a teenager and growing up and learning. It's like it's very concentrated there, but you don't stop growing up.
I really like that he talks about all of these other people who there's Everett Ruiz, who is a sort of a he's in the 30s going out through the same places that Chris goes through. This guy graffitis next to like some ancient pictographs, and that made me very upset because I have
Yeah,
archivist
very,
family
very
members and
disrespectful.
no.
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah, it's just I'm looking through my notes, but it's just a really beautiful book, and I think it's like it's so frustrating because there are some lessons you just have to learn through living, you know? I think I've been thinking lately about my first relationship. I think when I went through that, I remember so many other people sort of looking at me with this kind of pity, which was really hard. But I think it's also a thing of like, there is nothing I can do to help you get through this. You just have to like breathe through it and it'll end eventually. And that was so hard.
It's so hard, 100%. Sometimes you wish you could, for yourself or others, take the pain away and make it easier, but sometimes you have to just live through it, breathe through it. Sometimes it's hard, it's dark, but you will get through it. It's gonna pass. And yeah.
It feels like such an empty thing when you hear it when you're, 12 on Tumblr, but like it does get better.
Yeah, it gets
Oops.
better. Hey, I watch the It Gets Better YouTube gay videos. Those older gays being like, it gets better. I'm like, oh, okay, thank you.
Yeah, I'll
I'll
write that down.
Yeah, I was
Okay.
listening to Same Love, like, thank you, Michael Morgan. I guess my version of g going into the wild was just being with other queer people, moving to New York and stuff, and being able to be creative and seen in that way. There's
Yeah,
that.
no, I love that. Yeah, everyone has their Hopefully everyone has their version of Into the Wild. Yeah, I think for me it was going to art school and not. Yeah, I think it was when my mom was like, you could also get a master's. I was like, no, I think one degree is enough. Might not be in this family, but I think for me, yeah. And even with her, yeah, my mom finished her first degree and bounced out of Kentucky as fast as she could. You know, there's, I think we all have those.
We all have that, human beings are social creatures, and we have the desire to be around people who see us, who understand us, who feel like, we can that see eye to eye with us,
Yeah. I love that this was required reading for you, because I think like there is such a tendency not to do like contemporary literature in school, which is so
No.
dumb.
I know it is dumb. I'm grateful that they did that. They were like very much a very I did this program called Media Academy where it was like they went off the regular curriculum and were like,
Yeah.
okay, we're gonna teach you real history where the foundation of this country is slavery, racism, genocide of Native Americans, and racism to immigrants and stuff. Like read a lot of modern texts too. So I feel fortunate that like we got to like learn, go off like American history, English curriculum shit.
Yeah, I was listening to a podcast the other day, and they were talking about the phrase states' rights, which is so frustrating because I remember so clearly being in eighth grade, learning about the Civil War, and having my teacher, who was like one of the sweetest teachers in school, she like made a point to be like, when you come into my classroom, I will have tea. You can have a glass of tea. She was like, so she would, in an early age of iPhones, she would like pull out her iPhone and put on the lighter app and turn the lights out and put on music and just sort of like sway with the lighter on. And so when we were like taking the test, and I kept being like, no, there's the question of like, why did we fight the Civil War? And I kept being like, slavery, Miss Sessler. And she just kept being like, Erin, I'm winking and I need you to write states' rights on this piece of paper
I know,
in
for
order to get
real.
the grade.
We would have substitutes who come in and be like, they literally brought in the thing about, here's this book that you should all buy. It's called Everything My Eighth Grade History Teacher Lied About, because everything you're learning is a lie. Here's a book. And I'm like, okay, I guess it's growing up in the Bay Area where we like kind of
Well,
or like learn about
yeah.
like do that, but it's just kind of like, yeah, no, for real.
Oh, I like that. I like that a lot. I think I keep realizing how growing up outside of DC is a lot of people patting themselves on the back about how liberal we are. But at the same time, we are. I get picky when people say that DC is in the South because it's on the line. It's, it's the Mason-Dixon line, but it's there. It's definitely, it's hard to escape. Yeah. Yeah.
100%. I know it is that thing of like kind of getting perspective on like, not everything that everyone says is exactly the truth, and you like learn it for yourself.
Yeah. Chris loved Ronald Reagan. He founded the Young Republicans Club in college.
I know my mom
Yeah.
at UC Santa Barbara, who's also, the daughter of Japanese immigrants and was a part of the Young Republicans Club at UCSB and met Ronald Reagan. And then she went to Berkeley and she was like, oh, whoopsie about that. Never mind.
Oh my gosh. And but there's also like thinking about that is odd because I'm like, there's so many kids that I haven't talked to since I was 18. And I just like, I don't know where their stories went, you know?
Yeah, no, me too. And a lot of the times those kids are frozen in my brain as their 17-year-old selves, and you don't know that they're like, oh yeah, no, then I went to a liberal, small liberal arts school, and then I kind of, went through a similar journey that you did. Some other kids, maybe that's not the case. Maybe there still are kind of whatever the same things, but there are a lot of times I'll like see kids from high school and I'm like scared, and then I'm like, oh, okay, you're cool.
Yeah, adolescence is so isolating, which is so frustrating because everyone is feeling such similar things, and yet we cannot talk about it.
You hate other teen that your peers because you are the same bitch, and you are feeling
Yes.
that you're the same bitch, and you're feeling the same things,
Yes.
and that you're not talking about. So, I mean, sometimes I had like The people that I felt like I was like beefing with were the other closeted gay kids at my school. They were like, yeah, we're just two faggots, and this is the, that's what that is. Yeah.
Exactly.
With my twin brother, who literal reflection of me, I'm like, I hate this bitch. I am not him. We are not
Yeah.
similar. I'm different. I'm emo, and I do other things. So, but we're both gay, and like we're so similar. But in high school, I'm like, we're different. We are not the same. Yeah.
And if you don't know, that's a fantastic bit that Dylan does on Instagram that
Yeah.
just you.
No, that was my high school experience for sure.
Sorry, I just started thinking about when someone like cheered for Imperial Japan in
Oh
one
my
of your
God.
bits, that I think about that
Yes.
every day. That's so
No,
funny.
it took it that never happened before, and it took me so off guard because I think it was like a well-intentioned audience member who was trying to be like, woke and be like, oh yay. And I'm like, oh, actually, they were not good in World War II. No, bad. Don't want to cheer for that.
I was good. I was at my parents' house a couple months ago going through stuff, and I found an old $10 bill, and I was so excited. And then I was like, wait, this says Confederacy on it.
Oh my
This is a
God.
Confederate $10 bill.
Yeah,
I'll
yeah,
just put that
yeah.
away. I think I found one of my favorite parts of the book is actually a quote from a different book, but it just so perfectly sums up. Because parent-child relationships, I think, like, I don't intend on being a parent partly because I think it's like impossible to do it right, like no matter how hard you try.
I don't want to. I'm so adamant about no kids. I'm like, I can't,
Yes.
no. No.
I can't. I have so many thoughts and feelings on Wicked, and I understand why all of the changes between the book and the musical were made, but like her relationship with her dad is so complex that I know it just gets flattened in
I've
the
never read the book,
musical.
and you are
Oh my
inspiring
God.
me to down to read that book right now.
It's a whole series that I love a lot. It has flaws, has so many flaws. And especially like the way Gregory Maguire is a white gay man who is like really trying to do
Obviously.
his
And so
best.
is Stephen Schwartz, who wrote the
Yeah.
musical.
Well, and the second book is all from Elphaba's son's perspective, and he's gay, and it's really beautiful.
Oh.
The books are so good. When people talk about the Wicked books, all they want to say is like, "Oh my God, it's so graphic and sexual and
Everyone,
gross."
I didn't expect the sex. Oh, so much sex. That's
It's
what everyone
three
said.
pages. It is like three pages
Yeah,
in
it's
this
like,
whole 400-page book.
get over it.
Exactly. Well, and one of them, like the most graphic thing, is in like the first chapter, which I think is a fair way of Gregory Maguire being like, this is the book, guys. Like, this is the tone. We're setting the
Yeah.
stage here.
We're not in Oz, bitch.
But yeah, Wizard of Oz has always been one of my biggest things. And that relationship is like her father. So much of that book is about religion, which completely comes out of the musical. But her father is a priest who's out there trying to convert people, and his daughter is born green, and he's like, why did God punish me with a green child? Like, I love her. I love her, but she is a punishment from God.
Oh, wow.
It's a gorgeous book. I really, really recommend it, but
Oh, I
very
have to read
different.
that. I have to read
Yeah, it's so good. But this one quote in the book
that.
is talking.
We're just like wiggle, 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 blah, 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 Gregory.
I know. I know.
It
I just
happens.
peed a little. Yeah, that's
Yeah. No,
fantastic.
it happens. It
Oh
happens. We have to
man.
forgive ourselves. Back to the quote.
I will see you on Thursday. We have to compare. I will
Yes.
see you on
Yeah.
Thursday. But here's the
Absolutely.
quote. He is mad about being small when you were big, but no, that's not it. He is mad about being helpless when you are powerful, but no, not that either. He is mad about being contingent when you are necessary. Not quite it. He is insane because when he loved you, you didn't notice.
Oh, wow.
It's a Donald Barthelme, the dead father. It's at the beginning of chapter 15. But that is that, yeah, I need to like print that out too.
Yeah. Oh man. What it was before a chapter, was it talking about his relationship with his family? Is that what that was?
this is the chapter where crack hours talking about his own experiences climbing the mountain, and talks about his dad.
That is so, oh, heart-wrenching, heartbreaking. And it just highlights like a thing of, a very childhood human connection that is, oh, that is just like, that breaks your heart, and something that maybe Chris also felt into, like a thing of human, of feeling very, not being able to feel that, a very essential, like, piece of connection he needed with his parents.
It's so, and it's so frustrating because it's everywhere, you know? It's in Wicked, I'll tell you that. I just put on Cate Blanchett's new Apple series. It's already there. I'm only like 10 minutes in, and she's already like, I can't connect with my son. Something I noticed, I was looking into Jon Krakauer's life just a tiny bit, and his name John doesn't include an H, because I initially typed it in with an H, and a neuroscientist and neurosurgeon came up, and I was like, this man has so many
That's not
talents.
him.
Separate
That's not
person.
him. Yeah.
Separate person.
Yeah.
But Krakauer started mountaineering when he was 8, and Chris moved from Englewood to Virginia, I think at the same age, around 8.
Okay.
And I was like,
Okay.
God, what a. They're so close, and they never knew each
Yeah.
other.
Dang. Yeah. No, that's a striking quote.
It didn't occur to me that I might be bound by the same cause and effect relationships that governed the actions of others. Because I had thought about climbing this so intensely for so long, it seemed beyond the realm of possibility that some minor obstacle might ultimately thwart my will.
Yeah. It's like, I need that uncharted place on the map. That's what's gonna get me in. That's what is gonna fill what's missing.
We all have those hills, and like you said,
Yes.
you don't get to climb it, or you do, and if you're still you.
You're still you, finding that uncharted place, going into it with like, that is gonna give me every single thing that I've ever wanted and fulfill every single hole. It's no, it's not.
I came to appreciate that mountains made poor receptacles for dreams.
Oh yeah. It's such a good like metaphor for
Oh
things
my
that
God.
every person experiences. It's like it is like the like perfect metaphor for like some the dream and the search.
Yeah, we're all searchers. That's why some people get into cults. That's why some people do improv.
And it's also, there's something when it comes to, I don't know, creativity and art and creation and things. It's something that I genuinely love to do, and it makes me so excited, and I get fired up about it. But I know that it's not about like, once I get this, once I finish this, oh my God, everything will become so clear to me. It's like, no, that's it's not gonna do that. I
Oh my
love this
gosh.
book.
Me too. I didn't know what to expect, and I loved it so much. And Krakauer, like, I want to read all his books. There were so many vocab words in here. It was wow, real
Yeah.
command of language.
For sure. No, he wrote it so beautifully.
Would you consider it required reading?
100%.
It's such a good book to have for learning about Thoreau and transcendentalism, and just so good for high schoolers. Oh my
Yeah,
God, it's so good.
I agree. I fully agree. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Well, thank you so much. Is there anything you'd like to plug?
Thank you so much for having me, Erin. You could follow me on Instagram at Dylan Adler underscore or on TikTok at Dylan Adler Devin. So there's that. And I'm performing in New York on January 21st with my friend Samo. So, yeah.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. I'm going to end the recording.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you so much to Dylan. I really loved this episode. And I just keep thinking about my birthday's in a couple days. I just keep thinking about that it is, in fact, a privilege to grow up that not everyone gets. So, if you would like to support the podcast, please go to buymeacoffee.com/requiredreading. It's very appreciated. It's the end of the year. I'm getting kicked off of my SAG health insurance. So, you can find me everywhere at Erin R. Bowles. The R stands for. Risky. Okay, I'll see you next time. We are doing Regarding the Fountain by Kate Kleiss. It's a really good one. All right, goodbye.